Procure the Bag podcast, where we talk about everything strip club, nightlife industry, entertainment, all of that good stuff. For those of you that didn't know that are new here, I was a dancer for 4 years throughout the U.S. and mostly Vegas, Texas, sometimes New York. And it was a fucking journey because no one knew what I did. My parents didn't know. My closest friends and family didn't know. Nobody knew. It was just my ex-boyfriend and one of my good friends. And for those 4 years, I kept it a secret from everyone. So I had a lot of ups and downs throughout my life and throughout the industry. And the only way that I could really reflect on those is through these blogs or Google Docs that I would write in every day after I would work. So, you know, I talk about like physical altercations, which is some of the most recent ones. I talk about really great nights, really shitty nights, wasting your time with someone, culture, you know, tipping, all those different things. And after the last episode, I had taken a month off with my ex to like go and travel and stuff like that. I had saved up all this money in like May of 2019. And I was like, yeah, we're going to go have a great time. And I took a month off and that was fucking awesome. I loved it. But then it's like, how do you get back into going to work after a long time? And I'm sure a lot of you girls that worked before the pandemic and went back to work after the pandemic know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when you don't work for, I mean, I don't even know I want to know for some of you girls, like if you guys are watching this and you're a dancer that danced before the pandemic and after, how long did you have to wait before you could go back? Like there's some states that were super strict. So you had to damn near wait like a year. So how did you make money? How did you live? How did you get by? Because for me, luckily, I had just moved to Texas before the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, I was only out of work for like 1 or 2 months. And then Texas wide open, fucking the whole canal, you know what I mean? Like it was awesome. So I was able to go back to work, even though it was slow as fuck. The regulations were tough. The money was not flowing like it used to. Plus, I was in Texas. I wasn't in Vegas anymore. So the money was not the same. I was in Dallas at first. It wasn't until I actually got, like, I went on a strip trip with one of my friends from Vegas that came to visit. We went to Austin. Then we went to Houston. Austin? I don't even want to talk about this shit on the podcast. It's a fucking hidden gem. Like, for those of you watching that are like, where do I go? You don't want to go to Vegas or whatever. Or you've been to Vegas and you want to go somewhere else. Austin, fucking Texas. So, bro, if I didn't know Vegas existed, I would have been in Austin all 4 years. Money's so fucking good. It's bonkers, like nuts. And it wasn't open 24 hours like the Vegas clubs. The Vegas clubs were open 24 hours and you could go in any time. This place, you're only limited to like 2 a.m. at the latest, sometimes 4, and you could still make the same amount damn near. Like it was that good. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, so I didn't really have a lot of times where I had like take breaks or whatever. Yeah, I take vacations here and there, but like I think the longest I was out without work is like a month or maybe like 2 months because of the pandemic. But I remember after this trip with my ex, this was in 2019, way before the pandemic, and I had to go back into work after like a month. And at the time I didn't drink too much at work. Like I would drink, but I wouldn't drink before going into work. So I'd be going into work sober, right? And I'd have to kind of like get into it and talk to people and try to somehow like start conversations and be fun when I didn't feel like being fun. So I basically talk about how do you get back into work after being gone for a long period of time. For some of us, the idea of going back to work after traveling for a while, it takes a few weeks off, is hard to think about. We contemplate and sometimes even overthink what can happen when stepping back onto the floor. I've been there way too many times, and yesterday was my first day back after being gone for over a month. Literally for the last 30-something days, I didn't dance at all. But I remember sometimes I would dread the idea of even going back to work after a week or 2 week break. It's so true though, because like I tell myself all the time like how much I love the industry, how much I loved stripping. But I do think back to like when I first started that first year, I would have, I guess you could call it like strip club going into work anxiety. Like I didn't want to go in, or like I was like hesitant, or I would just stay home. Like I would take, sometimes that's why my number of days that I worked in 2019 was so low. Like when I go back, I think it was like 118 days, which is not even a third of the year. Like it's not even one third. And that's how little I worked. but I still made six figures that year. Isn't that fucking nuts? And then once I finally started getting back into, like, once I started actually getting into stripping for real, like, really actually put effort towards it and wanted to make more money, that I was like, if I made six figures just off of working 8 days in a month, shit, imagine if I work 16 days in a month, which isn't even 5 days a week. So it can definitely be tough, though. Like, I definitely can understand when girls are like, I don't want to go into work, I don't feel like it. That anxiety is fucking real, bro, because not only do you have to get up, shower, shave, get ready, try to look your best, pick out an outfit that flatters your body, put on the fucking high-ass heels, eat, and then not feel bloated, and then you got to hit the floor and start talking to people. Even going up to the first person, most, like, nerve-wracking thing. Like, what am I going to say? Who is this person? How many girls have already approached them? Do they even have any money? Like, it's just, it's one of those things. Like, thinking about it makes you not want to go at all. So you really just got to do it. And I'm sure that's what I fucking talk about. But basically, I've been there way too many times, and yesterday was my first day back. So I remember sometimes I would dread the idea of going back to work after a week or a two-week break. Now, for some of you reading on here, you may be going back for the first time ever after having a kid, or maybe you haven't danced in years and you're scared shitless. That same type of fear usually occurs when you go for your first ever audition in stripper history. It's like the same type of fear. The fears are normal. In fact, you should have them. So to answer the question of how to get back into going after you've been gone for a while, I've got a couple of quick tips. So number one, and this one is obvious, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to fucking hate this one, but it's just go. So I used to tell myself all type of bullshit excuses on why I should wait another day or why tonight wasn't the right night. But like I said, it was just excuses to hold off, when in reality, all it's going to do is take away from your bag. So put on your stripper suit and go to work. It's simple. Another thing you could do is you could set your expectations. So this is perfect for the first tip I just gave, because when getting back into the groove of things, you won't always have great nights. As dancers, we know this, but for some reason, we still let our emotions get the best of us and get pissed when our first night back is poopy. If it's your first night back and it isn't a smash hit, then don't worry about it. Be proud that you knocked it out the way and go back the next day prepared for success. But yeah, those are like my biggest tips. So actually what helped me a lot is when I would go on like a full-on run. So I would work. I think the longest I've ever worked in a row is 23 days. Okay, that's not normal. I never did that before. It was my last month ever stripping, and I wanted to go for like a fucking world record, and I hit it. But most of the time, I think the most I would work is maybe like 5 days in a row, 6 days in a row, sometimes 4 days in a row, and then I take a day off. I know girls that work every other day. They can't do 2 days in a row. They want to work this day, then take a break, then the next day, then take a break, then the next day. But for me, the way that my routine would go is I would decide, okay, I have this much that I want to make this week. I have plans to do certain things this week. I want to work on the days where I don't have these plans. And what I would do is I would spend like a day like on my beauty routine, either the day of going to work that night or the day before. And I would go and I would like get my hair done. I would go and I would tan. I would go and I would get my lashes done. I'd get my nails done. Potentially laser hair removal at the time, like depending on what time frame it was. But I would spend like a whole day getting myself ready. So it's like, bro, if you don't fucking go, like, you're crazy. You just spent all this money on getting yourself prepared. You know you're going to go. You just got some new outfits. Like, and by the way, stripper outfits, stripper shoes. You know how much that shit is? Literally the average pair of like stripper shoes, if you like, it depends on where you go. But I would say it's like $100. But the good ones, like $150, $200, depending. If you get like the high heel boots or if they're like really nice. But yeah, like you're spending this money, you're investing it into yourself. If you've gotten your body done and you've spent thousands on your body or like filler or whatever, like you want to get a return on your investment, right? So it's like you got to get yourself ready. You got to hype yourself up somehow, some way. One of the things I used to do before work, it's like an evolution, right? And this kind of sounds kind of fucked up. But when I first started, my biggest thing was like Red Bull and fruit snacks. So I had to have 2 bags of fruit snacks before work, along with a Red Bull. And I would have a straw in my Red Bull. If my Red Bull didn't have a straw, I'm not fucking drinking it. I'd go and I'd stop somewhere to get a fucking straw so I could drink out of the straw like a bougie bitch. And I would go and I would listen to like Migos. And I think one of my favorite ones that I would listen to before work is Freak No More. Like where it's like, she don't want to be a freak no more. She don't want to be a freak no more. You know that one? So I would listen to that before work. This is 2019, my first like club in Vegas. And I would drive to work and I would listen to that shit. And now in San Francisco is a little different because it was a 2-hour drive from my house. I would drive there every morning. I wake up at 7 a.m., right? Thank God I was working day shift because my mom was wondering, where the fuck are you all day, you know? And I'm like, I'm working, like, you know, because I am. And then I'd be home at night, and she didn't question me. But then when I moved to Vegas, obviously, like, I'm not with my parents anymore. I can lie. I can tell them I'm going to bed early, you know what I mean? Like, it was very easy to hide all of it. It almost, like, was perfect. And still, they never found out until I told them. They had no idea, which is nuts. Anyways. Back to, like, the rituals. So it went from, like, Red Bulls and fruit snacks to 3 little mini bottles of tequila with some Red Bull, get a little turned up before the club, get a little cozy, because then I'd be able to go right into it. Now, I'm not recommending this, but I know girls that will smoke, like, a blunt before. I know girls that will maybe take, like, a shot. Some clubs, they allow you to get, like, 1 free drink. Some clubs even have incentives. So in New York, one of the clubs that I worked at to get girls in early, because a lot of girls there don't go until like midnight. And I know that that's like that at a lot of the clubs. Like I know Miami is like super late. Like girls don't even get there till like midnight. And I still think that's early. But in New York, I'm an early bird. So I like to get in there as early as possible, let shit build up. I like to see the crowd come in and things like that and get comfortable. But in New York, they would incentivize you like, oh, if you come in early, we'll give you a free meal. We'll give you a few free drinks. You get a free house fee. Like these clubs would incentivize you. And even the ones in Vegas, they incentivize you for sure. Except for one of them. They don't fuck around. They're like, you got to be in at this time. And if you're not, you're not working. Like that's it. And everyone has their own way of doing things. But I like the ones with the incentives where I can get like a free house fee. So yeah, so it's just like an evolution, right? So we all have like our thing. Some of us have like our own little rituals that we'll do before work or things that we'll... One thing I never liked doing before work is I never liked going out to eat. I always told myself, yeah, I'll come out to eat, but I'm not going to eat a lot because I don't want to be bloated, or I'm not going to drink too much because if I drink too much, I'm really not going to want to go to work. Like maybe a shot, give me a little loose. Because those little tiny shots, like, I would drink them in my car before. I would be right outside the club, though. I'd be, like, right. I wouldn't be moving. The car would not move. But I would drive, right? I'll go get my liquor. And then I would sit in my car before I went into the club. And I'd chug those little 3 drinks to get a little loosey-goosey. Take my Red Bull with me. Sometimes I even pour the shot in the Red Bull if the Red Bull's, like, low enough. And then I'll swirl it around because they weren't going to smell my shit. They should have, honestly. They should have checked my shit, but they didn't. Thank God. And even if they did, honestly, like, they love me. So, I mean, the clubs that I'm thinking about. But anyways, it's like an evolution, right? So we all have our own thing. I think that that's what fucked me up. But, like, that's one of the reasons I knew I couldn't dance anymore. Because I knew I could, like, go in sober. But I just had my ritual. You know, when you have your ritual and you have your thing, like, I didn't want it to turn into anything else. I didn't want it to turn into more. And I also knew my attitude and like when liquor flows and situations happen, sometimes you just can't help it and shit can get messy. So that's what I have to say about that, but it's a lot of fun. The strip club's great. I know that some of the rituals can get pretty intense, like drugs. Like I know probably a couple of girls, like very small amount, because I didn't really hang out with like, I would say that a lot of people, for the most part, if they haven't been to a strip club or they're not, like, big strip club goers, they can assume that a lot of the girls do drugs or they have a pimp or, you know, they're alcoholics or whatever. Very, very rarely would I run into girls that did drugs. I think I ran into, like, 1 or 2. I never really saw girls do, like, coke before work. I've seen girls do coke at work, or I've had coke done off my ass. Like, I've had coke done off my ass more times than I can remember. And I love that shit. Like, that was so much fun. And I remember, bro, oh my fucking God. I was in this room once. Like, it was one of the, like, highest paid rooms in one of the clubs that I worked at. And it was just me and this one guy. And I remember that night, too. I bet I fucking... It's in here. I'm telling you guys. It's in one of these reflections. this guy, I was one of the first girls to go up to him, and I knew he was going to spend some fucking money. And I knew all the girls were waiting until I left. They thought I was going to leave. They thought that it wasn't going to be a vibe. No, he went right up to the fucking top with me. He had the Coke, put it right on my titties, sniffed that shit off. And as he was sniffing it, a waitress comes in to bring the bottle. I'm like, fuck! I'm like, no! Oh my fucking God! I'm like, I'm about to get fired, bro. I'm about to get fired. Like, no way. She never snitched. I made sure he tipped her ass well, too. I was like, you better fucking tip her, because if not, you're going to get... I mean, he doesn't give a fuck. He was rich as fuck. He didn't care. He's like, man, they can kick me out. I don't care. Plus, he was on coke, which makes it even, like, a little bit more, like, hostile. But he tipped them well. And I knew he would, too, because he was just one of those guys that comes into the club. You just know he's going to spend money, and he doesn't give a fuck. So that was a lot of fun. And I loved when people would do coke off me, but I never did it. Like, and I've seen girls, like, one of my good friends, we went to a room together. And when we were upstairs, he said he would only go up to the room if she did coke. I thank God I didn't pick him, because he was to be like, I'm only going up to the room with you if you do coke. I wouldn't even try to fake it. Like, I don't want to accidentally touch it. I don't want to accidentally, like, put it in. I don't want to even get it near my, like, I was so, I've never done coke. I've never done drugs, like, anything like that. I'm actually kind of, like, afraid of it because of the shit that, you know, it can cause, like, in regards to, like, addiction and things like that. Like, the only thing that I stuck with was alcohol, and, you know, it is what it is. But she was like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. And I knew she didn't do coke. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, he's going to be hella mad. And then he's going to tell the manager that they promised that they would do coke. And she was like, bro, just trust me. Like, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, what are you talking about? So we go up to the fucking room. I've got the chillest dude, right? Like, he doesn't even, like, get – he just wants to talk the whole time. I'm so happy. I'm like, fuck yeah. This other guy, though, fucking – maniac, wild. It's like a little sheep and a wolf. Like, this guy isn't even a wolf. He's like a water buffalo. He's just like, but he's on the blue rhino pill, okay? He's horny. He's trying to fuck. He's trying to do coke. He's trying to do it all. Anyways, she puts it, like, on his shoulder. Like, she's, like, sitting, like, she's, like, straddling him on the couch. And he's, like, grabbing her ass. And, like, if she listens to this, I hope this is accurate. I'm pretty sure this is fucking accurate. She's straddling him. She puts it on, like, his shoulder, or, like, on her arm or some shit. I think she put it on her, like, her hand. And she goes, like, but, and I really thought she did it. It was so, like, believable. And then after, I was like, bro, you just did coke. She's like, bro, no, I didn't. I blew it off. She was like, I don't know how the fuck she did it, bro. I don't know how she did it, but she did. She blew it off, and I knew she didn't do coke because she didn't do that shit. She was sober. She didn't even drink. So I'm like, shit, you know, more props to you. We got paid out for that thing, so that was fun. But, oh, my God, like, so many situations. There's a lot of coke in the club for sure. Like, drugs are flowing, things like that, but not, like, that hard shit, you know what I mean? At least not in the clubs that I worked at. It was, like, you know, rich people drugs, I guess you could say. So, yeah, definitely, like, a decent amount of alcohol and drugs. Cocaine. If I had any post-work rituals besides the blog, it would literally be ordering birria tacos from, like, my favorite spot and hoping that they got delivered to the right unit. Because at my last apartment building that I lived at before I worked, I lived, like, right on the strip. I mean, before I quit. Not before I worked. The apartment that I lived at before I quit was on the strip. So it was, like, right next to a hotel. So people thought that I lived at the hotel, and I had to make it super clear in the fucking directions. Like, bro, I live here. Definitely after work ritual is, like, eating. But there was this one spot there. It's right next to one of the clubs that I worked at. It's a Mexican spot. Oh, my fucking God. If I was drunk enough and I knew I couldn't go home, I would go in there, I would sit down, I'd order a water and lobster tacos, and I would go to fucking work. And the guac. I would get this whole ass big bowl of tableside guac where they make it tableside, and I'd eat it all by myself. It was delicious. Those are things that I miss, for sure. And I tell myself all the time, like, damn, I want to go back and just visit and, like, see everyone and just, like, go relive the areas and the places that I was. But I just know, like, the point that I'm at right now in my life, I need to focus in on, like, my future and my growth and the things that I'm doing. Like, this podcast is, like, just for fun. It's just more so to, like, reminisce and talk to you guys and let you know what it was like. But besides that, like, real life, there's so much I want to do. And I just know stripping, the only thing that it would provide me with if I was to go back was just more money. That's the only thing. And I feel like my pride, in a sense, or, like, the goals that I have, it can't allow me to go back because I know that there's other ways. Maybe not, like, that quick of money, right? But I know that there's more. So the strip club's fun. Pre-rituals was more, like, my thing, though, because I like to be prepared. I like to go into, like, I mean, fuck, if you guys listened to one of the last podcast episodes, I literally talked about a game plan of what I would do going into work moving forward after I had an altercation with a girl. Like, literally steps, like, what I would do. If this happened, then I would do this. If that happened, then I would do that. So I usually like to come in prepared, but after I go in and I start working, I just get into the groove and then, you know, I don't ever set a time to leave. I don't ever set, I mean, usually I'll tell myself I want to make a minimum of, like, this much. If I'm having, like, a night where it's almost like a dread to continue to work, I'll quit right after I hit my goal. Or if I'm having a great night and there's lots of money to still be made and I'm, like, on top of the fucking world, then I'll continue to work. And sometimes I'd work until, like, you know, obviously it closed. Usually at, like, the places that I would go besides Vegas, because Vegas used to be 24/7. I don't think it is anymore. Like, when I left, it was no longer 24/7. After the pandemic, like, everything started closing at a set time. But before the pandemic, everything was 24 hours there. And I would stay, like, sometimes late. Sometimes I would leave early, whatever. And you could really stay however long you wanted. You could stay fucking 24 hours if you really wanted to. But in, like, Texas or New York, sometimes I'd stay till close. And then in Vegas, my last year, I definitely stayed till close a lot of the time. But no, really, like, after work rituals, just food, shit. And that's another thing that can fuck you up in the club is, like, liquor. Then you get hungry. Then you eat too much. And then you don't want to wake up in the morning to go work out. Then you got to go get a surgery because you're getting too big and you got to keep it tight. So now I'm just going on a rant. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure you leave a like, comment, subscribe. Tell me what you guys want to see next. Ask any questions. Would love to start some type of like polls or just questions that I can answer for you guys with anything that you want to know. And again, secure the bag.